You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening to the same. You could never understand. Feel the fortune flowing.
The bicycle of life has two wheels. The past that you have passed and the future that you are moving towards. The present is where you need to pedal to keep yourself stable, happy and successful. That's from Srivenus Mithra.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen.
Future has turned all right. You're listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show here on 3CR. Radical Radio. Streaming, podcasting, or streaming. Or, I'm sorry, listening on that old transistor in the kitchen. Many thanks to Amy Goodman and Pibby Shafe from Democracy Now. I've got a bit of the Monday morning fumbles, which I'm going to blame on. Hey, listen, we've just gone past the longest night, so from now on, the future, the days will get sunnier and longer. We've got a bit of a show coming up today. We've got one focus on, actually. We're going to have a little bit of news events, but we are lucky to be joined along for the ride with Faith and myself this morning by a recently made homeless bicycle shop owner. And that would be you, Mr. Hugh.
Good morning.
Good morning, and good morning, Faith.
Good morning.
Long finger gloves on this morning?
No, that was a mistake. I missed them.
It is a little bit nippy, but anyway, it's good. No frost. One of those funny days. I'm an early dog walker. It was colder at 9:30 this morning than it was at 7:00. It was quite nice this morning. Anyway, we move on. Look, we're mainly going to be talking about homeless bicycle shops for the rest of the day. Faith, we kick it off with a couple of bike moments.
My bike moment was just this morning. It was one of those rides where you leave home thinking you've got it all sorted and then you realise you should have worn the long finger gloves. But the main thing was, when you start thinking, are my brakes on? And then after a while, a bit further, you're thinking, is my rear tyre flat? it turns out my rear tyre is quite flat. There was some, went around a few corners and had that weird rear wheel sort of thing happening. But made it here. I might have to find somewhere to put some air in it before I go home.
Hugh, I might get you to lead off with a bicycle moment.
Excellent. So in a few weeks since the fire, I've had a lot of people reach out to me with offers of support and help.
Backtrack one second, actually. A lot of people mightn't have understood what has happened.
Yep.
Hugh Vellacott from Commuter, off course, aka commuter, had a very unfortunate and horrible fire, and we're just recovering, or you're recovering from it now. So
yeah, so about 3 weeks ago, a few hours after we'd closed, essentially there was an internal fire that engulfed the entire building and destroyed our workshop and everything in it. And in the subsequent weeks, we've had an outpouring of love from our community. And one of the things that people have got in touch with me personally is to say, hey, do you want to go for a... Let me know when you're ready to go for a spin. So on Sunday, I went for a mountain bike ride in the bush near my place on Jarra Country. And it was a life-affirming event. Really lovely to spend some time with a mate and get out into the bush and pedal.
It's a great medication, cycling, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And trees.
Yes.
Trees. That.
I know.
Yeah.
And all around our place, there's lots of beautiful shades of grey and greeny greys, soothing. Particularly when it's been wet.
Yeah.
So it was yes, very, very soothing.
Yeah. That sit up, just suck that lung full of air. Mm. You can smell something. There's something there underneath it all.
Absolutely.
It's actually quite a magical spot. Well, that's great. Look, I know over the years, I'm not sure, Faith, there's always something happens, you go, oh, that'll make a great bike moment, you know, and you put it away. And I know I do a fair bit, but then I'd go, well, you don't want to be too self-referential about these sort of things. But when I knew you were coming on, I thought of a couple of things that have cropped up just in the last 6 months, actually. So I'm down at my local post office in Burnley one day trying to, I can't remember whether I was picking something up or not. And outside I see locked to one of the hoops an old red Linus 26-inch three-speed bike with a commuter cycle stamp on it. So this is just before Easter this year. And I looked at it, obviously, maybe the grips needed replacing and a few other things. But obviously this thing's been going for 12, 13 years, maybe even longer, just ticking away. It was one of those bikes that was a really, you knew when they you knew they'd be around for a while, actually, and there it was sitting there. So I looked at it and thought, oh, that's lovely, and then I hope the person's really enjoyed it. I immediately twigged of a couple of people. I thought it might have been. I backed that off a little bit. Anyway, about 2 weeks later, I'm coming out of the shopping centre where I do one of my weekly shops, and I come out with the pannier, because I do everything by bike, and I'm putting on the pannier on the bike, and I look at the bike next door, chained up, and for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the frame, but I looked at it, and tubus rack on it, Velour Orange mud guard, swanky spur cycle bell, spiral wrap around all the electrical connections. I looked at it and I thought, oh, well, I know where this come from. And then a lovely young woman came out and started to put her panniers on. And I said to her, ooh, you've been up to that bike shop in East Brunswick, haven't you, Chad? And it was really quite funny. And, of course, he'd had an off-course sticker on it. So in the space of a month, you know, these two little meetups. And it tells a little bit of a story about your journey, actually, from one thing to another, doesn't it? Mm. Just in two bicycles. It was really lovely. And, I mean, you know, obviously I end up having a chat with the woman. She's just completely in love with everything the bike that did. It was, and you looked at it and you just knew. Oh, well, I mean, because of my association with you, but you looked at it and all those little telltale things like the spiral wrap, the nice entry into the cable from the fork, all those sort of things that you look at a bike and go, oh, somebody's done this with a fair bit of care. It was really good. And it's a good sort of, I can see this now, they're two little stages. And I think this show is going to be about the next step, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited about what the future might present.
Yeah, in 10 years' time, I want you back on here and I'll be telling you a story about the third iteration.
The third iteration.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, we're going to be... We've got a little bit of news, Faith, before we move on, or...
Well, we should just mention that it is the 3CR Radiothon and we need donations made to help keep 3CR on the air. It's celebrating 50 years this year, so we want to have another 50 years. Yarra Bug Radio Show has been on since, what was it, 2008. So it's 18 years. And you've been here for all of them.
I thought I wouldn't have lasted more than 18 months, to tell you the truth. And somebody said, how can you find enough material to do a show about bicycles? And I go, well, there you go. Hey, listen, just while we're touching on the radiothon, it's not too late to donate. I mean, the end of the financial year is only a little bit away. You need to get rid of a bit of charity donation. 3CR is always a good... avenue for you to make sure that independent media hangs around. And I should say on that, we're coming up to the 4th of July, which will be the 3CR birthday party at Collingwood Town Hall. You'll find everything on the website, but it'll be a celebration not to miss. And Yarra Bug, we're going to do something there too. We're going to pump up a few tyres and...
Yep, do some free bike checks.
Free bike fix comes to Collingwood Town Hall.
Yeah, so if you ride to Collingwood Town Hall and your rear tyre feels a little flat, you can bring it into Val and Alex and they'll take a look at it for you and fix it up.
And give you a lecture about how much pressure to put in the front tyre, how much pressure to put in the back tyre.
And if you want to make a donation now, you can do that at 3cr.org.au or by calling 03 941 9837. And if you make a donation, please also choose from the drop-down box that you want mention Yarra Bug Radio Show.
And we'll be back right after this.
Yarra Bug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarra Bug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's ride-to-school programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
And you're back listening to the Yarra Bug Radio Show with Val and Faith and our guest Hugh Vellacott from Off Course Cycles in Brunswick. I was sitting at home in Brunswick and someone who sits on the Vic Emergency app sent me a screenshot and said, why are there 11 emergency vehicles down near the Victoria Hotel, which was, you know, the cluster that you could see. How did you find out about the fire, Hugh?
So I was at home in Castlemaine, about an hour and a half out of Melbourne, and my phone at around 9:40 started going off with messages from our alarm system. Because the alarm has heat, the sensors pick up movement and heat. So I usually that means someone is at the workshop, you know, working late after hours, tinkering on their own bike. So I wasn't immediately concerned, but I did jump on to the cameras because then you can see if a possum is in there or someone's working, and the cameras were all black, which was, you know, they were non-operational, which was the first indication that something was up. So I messaged everyone to say, hey, is anyone at the workshop? Something's going on. And a few minutes later, Will called me in a state of shock because he was literally on site. He'd come back, tried to open the front door before the sort of blaze took off because his phone had been going off too with the alarm messages. But by that point, it was already out of, you know, control for a fire extinguisher sort of thing. So he sadly was literally watching the workshop go up in flames, and it So he got looked after by some lovely neighbours of ours who looked after him because he was understandably in a state of shock.
Yeah, well, I messaged Will and he said, I'm over the road. And I just thought, oh, that must be the worst.
Shocking.
Yeah.
So I jumped in the car and drove down and got there when the fire was under control. And the fire services were sort of largely in pack down mode, and a few other staff were there. So we spent a few hours on site liaising with Fire Victoria and police and what have you.
The photos, I have to say, were pretty spectacular. Mm. Like the smoke plume from a long way away. I mean, a bike shop obviously has a lot of
rubber.
Yeah, it was pretty horrific, some of the footage I saw, and the fire was very intense.
Yeah.
And it was out the back where a lot of storage was, so there was, you know, a lot of tyres, tubes.
Yeah.
Our shop fittings are all made from wood and what have you. So sadly, once a fire establishes there and when no one's on site to see it and put it out, it very quickly effectively engulfed the whole building.
And with the fire services investigation, did they establish how the fire started?
No, there were three independent sets of fire investigators. The Fire Service of Victoria, who are the independent party, and each of them are sort of quite careful with how they choose their words when talking to me, because obviously there are implications. But all three were able to rule out a lot of things, so they go in looking for sort of the usual suspects, as it were, and they were able to rule out a lot of those things, and they were very confident with where the fire originated, which was relatively straightforward to ascertain.
Mm-hmm.
But by all accounts, all three parties were not able to conclude exactly what had started it.
But nothing suspicious untoward.
Absolutely, no. That's the only thing they were absolutely able to rule out. And from our perspective, we were confident of that from the get-go. There were some inaccurate reports, and there was a sort of unfortunate arson incident on the evening that was completely unrelated.
Yeah.
And so I think two news reports got conflated. And so from our perspective, there was no indication that there was anything untoward about it, but that was the one thing all the fire services folks were able to ascertain. Nothing suspicious. Sadly, just, you know, really, really bad luck.
Really bad luck, yeah. Mm.
I can imagine, I think I remember I got a couple of texts on the next morning. It's quickly how quickly everything got around, that people were, I started getting texts about what happened. I thought, I just couldn't believe it. Went up about 5 days later, I think. I went up to see you guys, and I think I said to somebody the other day, here's the whole team, hands on deck, you know. No, I mean, I could, obviously you and Will and everybody's been through this quite horrific shock about, you know, what happened and what could have been and what did happen. But 4 days later, there you all are, smiles on your face, saws in hand, chopping up stuff and making room for everything.
Mm.
So I rode away home. When you're talking about going for a ride and clearing your head, I rode home from going up and seeing you and going, oh, I wouldn't, you don't have to worry about these blokes. They're right into it.
Yeah.
So you managed to, you've still got a little bit of a ground there. You've got a space across the road.
Yep.
So you've got room to do something.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we oddly enough feel very fortunate in a lot of respects. The first is that literally no one was harmed. The next door neighbours were fine. So my first response was sort of quite removed, and the fact that these are all things that can ultimately be replaced, and everyone, including myself, is okay. And then we were very, very fortunate to have our storage building directly over the road from the workshop, which many folks wouldn't know because it doesn't play a role in the sort of day-to-day customer-facing side of things. But we've got a building that up until 3 weeks ago, was packed to the rafters with bikes and frames largely, and you couldn't swing a cat in there. But what it meant was that, A, not only did we not lose all our stock, it also meant, more importantly, that we had a base literally the next day to meet at
together.
And come together and start that process of literally putting one foot in front of the other. And I think in the aftermath of an event like that, you really need things to be able to focus on that sort of the first step of whatever that journey is. And so we were really lucky having that building, because we could come together, we could support each other, and we physically had something to do. So day one, okay, let's get all this storage out. We had neighbours offer us space. We've had an artist warehouse around the corner offer us space. The folks at Monash Storage up the road were very generous in freeing up some space. So straight away, we had things where we could focus on whatever comes next. And I think without that, we would have been a little bit at sea, certainly for the first little bit. So it did mean that within days we had a sense of being able to do things that were positive, constructive, and getting us to where ultimately we'll end up.
I mean, we often talk about it with campaigning, but action is the antidote to despair, and it's the doing together that can get you through, instead of sitting at home thinking by yourself.
Absolutely. I think it's really important, and it's a bad analogy because, of course, we'll continue, but I often think about funerals in the context of, as much as anything, providing the most affected people who would otherwise be potentially just completely at a loss and in despair with something to physically do. And if that's discussing which sandwiches to have and where the coffee cart goes, that's actually really constructive and really positive, and it provides a way for people to work through that grief in the ways that we all do. But it's that action, because we can all say put one foot in front of the other, but you actually need somewhere to go and somewhere to do something to do,
and people to do it with.
Absolutely.
And look, I mean, it's such obviously onto this point is to be able to retain the staff. I mean, a lot of these cases, everything shuts down, nobody gets paid for however long it takes. You've managed to actually keep everybody busy.
Absolutely. And so we're very fortunate again in that we have an insurance policy that on paper covers us for the lost stock and physical elements, but also supports us for 12 months from, you know, any event such as this. So all staff have been retained, and our insurance, as we work through it, which we've only started that sort of process, will look after all our wages and what have you for 12 months, which means that we can, A, keep everyone on, and B, we can focus on rebuilding, and because that whatever that looks like is going to be a huge, huge job. Mm. So, again, we're really lucky.
Give us a sense of what you can get done now.
Great.
Or in the next, let's say, give you a month.
Yeah, great. So, we're lucky in that we have an established website. So basically, our website is fully operational, and anything that is showing in stock on our website, one can order for delivery or click and collect. So in terms of working out, in terms of nuts and bolts products and bikes and things, the best thing that people can do is start on our website rather than coming in store, because even the things that we do have, we're not really in a position to display them and have them sort of browsable. Yeah. So irrespective of whether it's a whole bike or a new front basket, the best port of call is our website, where one can see what's available and what's not. And the workshop has started taking bookings. We were, again, lucky to pick up a sort of starting base for our workshop from another bike shop that had recently closed and was looking to sell that. So we've been able to equip our workshop with the bare bones very quickly. We've also had some people be very, very generous, lending us more hard-to-locate tools like frame prep tools and things like that. So We, as of this week, will be ready to do wheel building and roll-off servicing and a bunch of things, but in a limited capacity. We have relatively little storage capacity for bikes, so our focus on same-day servicing will be even more laser-like.
Yeah.
Because we just don't have an ability to have 30 bikes in work in progress. But in terms of workshop stuff, Mike, our workshop manager, can talk people through if they want to book or get in touch to see what we're able to do. One thing that we're being very focused on is only offering the things that we can do 100%.
Yeah.
So it'll be an assorted catalogue, but the things that we can offer and the things that we say, no problem, Faith, we're happy to do that, we'll be in a position to do as well as we were a month ago. But there'll be some things, and there won't necessarily be a great rhyme or reason to those things.
Yeah.
Hey, I reckon you've got a bit of good history behind you on this. Not many people know Peter Moore's Abbotsford Cycle started at Abbotsford, had a very unfortunate robbery and collapse there, rebirthed underneath Richmond Railway Station. Lazarus Point 2.0. Came back better than ever, didn't he?
So absolutely.
What I'm trying to say is, it was a lovely question. Somebody with the bushfire season, somebody says, "Oh, you've got to evacuate." The question is, what do I actually take? You know, and you're not in that position, but in some ways you are. And a little bit, what happens in the future is a little bit guided by what happened 2 weeks ago.
And look, we've in the 18 years, I was. Interested to note that we started at the same time as the radio show in 2008. It was an auspicious year.
Yeah.
In all that time, we have been constantly changing reimagining what we consider the best bike shop in Melbourne to be. And so this will be a big step change in that journey. But in another sense, it'll just be business as usual. We're constantly looking at what we do, how we do it, and how we can best serve our community, and so this will be an opportunity to go through that period of sort of self-reflection and decide what we want to do for the future.
And it's testament to the legacy of the bike shop, the community of the staff, and then the wider community, that you can do that. It's a solid business that gets the insurance and has all that, but it's also solid in that there is that immediate push to, okay, what do we do? It's, people aren't defeated by it. They're not wanting to just walk away or run away, or everyone sort of turns and pivots and looks to the future. So that's a testament to that community that you've built over that 18 years.
Absolutely, and we feel very lucky to have the incredible customer base that we do have, and I lost count of the messages and literally outpouring of love that we've all received, and we didn't for a moment consider not rebuilding, but we are doing it fueled by all the bike folks all around the world, literally, who've reached out and let us know how much we mean to them, and so we feel really excited about giving those people an opportunity and a reason to come back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I've got to say, I mean, knowing you personally for all those years, you've deliberately, this is to make a destination bike shop and actually a community hub about cycling. And in that effect, you can burn down that shop 100 times, but if you keep those same people and that same feeling and that same push for that same, success is measured in different ways in the end, then, you know. All power to your arm. We'll all be up there getting new wheels built. I'll be buying some more Compass cycles. Everybody will be chipping.
The T-shirts, the special merch.
Oh, it's a special merch for the fire sale, yeah.
I should shout out to Alta, who are a graphic design agency here in Melbourne who we've worked with for a while. And the fire happened on a Wednesday, we reached out to them on the following Monday and said, hey, look, we'd love to do something. By definition, it needs to happen sooner rather than later.
Yep.
And because we had the garage sale, which we quickly rebranded to a fire sale, and in the space of 3 days, they must have literally dropped everything because they put that together for us. And, yeah, it was, fun. And we're not going to shy away from the fact that the place is burnt down. So let's embrace it.
Yeah,
I've got to say, after it did occur to me after a couple of days, or actually after I was riding away from seeing you on that day, I said, "Oh, a beautiful Monsteria plant was the last thing. One of my little contributions that was still sitting there and still alive, but has now gone to God, unfortunately."
Well, a couple of the things that we did save, talking about what you would take in the event of evacuating, we didn't have the opportunity to take them beforehand, but we were able to save some sort of irreplaceable roll-off workshop tooling that we had received from the factory and is not readily available. And then the only other thing we got were the door handles from all the cupboards. We've used old bike parts and some beautiful Suntour Superb cranks and things like that. So and the lampshades. There were three enamel lampshades, which were probably one of the first things I installed 18 years ago. And so they will return. So it'll be very much a grandfather's axe kind of situation when we do rebuild.
And I've got a Monsteria in a pot at home. Ready
we can repropagate it.
Yes, there we go. Hey, listen, Critical Mass on Friday coming up. Don't miss it.
Riding to Moonee Valley.
And coming up next is the Radioactive Show. Chris and Steve will be back next week. Don't forget, Radiothon matters.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.